I've asked Sarah. I actually asked her a year ago.
I think I asked you.
Oh, okay. And it resonated within my heart that I really want to have more people involved besides myself. I could tell you stories about fasting and prayer for many, many years, but I want it coming from the body of Christ, that I'm not the only one. And Sarah's being a doctor. She's got a perspective. She looks at it a lot different in many ways from myself. So I thought I wanted her to speak concerning fasting and prayer and give us some teaching on it. And then if there's time, I'll jump up later. I'm not quite sure. And it doesn't matter if I get up at all today. But bless you, Sarah. And thank you for your willingness sharing with us this morning. True story, folks. Sometimes I fast for Sunday, getting ready for the service. And I actually got in my car, drove to church and everything, and actually peeled a banana and had it in my mouth and realized, I'm fasting this morning. It happens. So I did. I spit it out. I thought, oh, well, I'm not too Pharisaic, but just that those things are happening. So Sarah's going to share with us this morning, but I just really want it on a practical sense that there's so many things. There's new people in our church as we go into this fasting and praying again. I want a lot of dialogue and discussion. That's why I have those sheets out in the back. You're more than welcome to read them. Bill Bright wrote those articles. He fasted and prayed for probably 50, 60 years. Tremendous results from that. And so the more information each of us have going into it and preparation, the better off we'll all be. Lord bless you, Sarah.
Thank you.
Let me get my notepad. Pat, I want to take some notes here.
I'll just start with a quick prayer. Heavenly Father, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be pleasing in your sight, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer. Psalms 19:14. Also today, Lord, I pray that you transform my mess into my message. Amen. All right, so I want to start with some really basic and practical, not rules, but guidelines that you can use to embrace the idea of fasting in maybe a new way, because I know that this is a lost art and a lost therapy, and I'm hoping that through my naturopathic medicine that I can also re-encourage or reinstill the appreciation for what this offers us. All right, so who can or should fast? Individuals with high blood pressure, diabetes type 2, rhinitis, asthma, rheumatoid arthritis, eczema, psoriasis, irritable bowel disease, which includes Crohn's and ulcerative colitis, migraines and headaches, coronary artery disease, which is a big category, but also non-alcoholic fatty liver disease, and psychological disorders. I hear a ringing or a tin. Thank you. More importantly, who should not fast? I think, because a lot of us can see ourselves within those who can or should, but those who should not are children under 18, because they're still growing developmentally. They need those nutrients to ensure good bone deposit, good muscle strength, those kinds of things. Women who are pregnant or breastfeeding, those who are malnourished or underweight. So I can see a few of you in the audience. I'm not going to single you out. You know who you are. If you feel fatigue or difficulty just maintaining basic life, chances are you shouldn't be fasting, or at least make sure you have some supervision while you are. Eating disorders, which I will add a personal note in a little bit. And then type 1 diabetics. You need to be very careful, especially if you're insulin dependent, because your insulin amounts greatly vary for some of you based on what you're taking in for nourishment. So when you're taking in no nourishment, you don't necessarily want to keep injecting with insulin. So I welcome questions to Dr. Fisher as well as myself on that matter. Most patients who are on medications should also be careful, especially if those medications are directed to be taken with food, right? That's a bit of a no-brainer. And bleeding ulcers. Because when you're not eating, you increase a little bit of stomach acid production in the hunger pangs phase. And so you could irritate or further aggravate something that's bleeding in your digestive system. There's a third category, which is those who should be cautious or should seek assistance in following through on any sort of water fast. Anyone with a significant cardiac history, so if you've had a heart attack before, you definitely want to be supervised. If you have gout, A lot of people don't know that when you're fasting, gout can be irritated or aggravated. And the idea behind that is because you're purging and detoxing from the system, you're basically raising or shunting the uric acid, so it'll feel worse before it feels better. That doesn't mean you can't. It means that you want to be supervised or have somebody helping you monitor those results. GERD, gastroesophageal reflux disease, that's a fancy medical term for if you feel heartburn. There are qualifiers, but generally that's another condition where you'd want to be careful so you're not burning through your esophagus lining. I still hear the tin. Sorry, Rini. High blood pressure with type 2 diabetes because the medications need adjusting, in which case just make sure your medical doctor approves you to do those fasting therapies and or get yourself checked once a day, once a week, checking all your vitals. Lastly, gallstones. So on a personal note, I had an eating disorder, and it started with anorexia. So I went 2 weeks with no food except for juices and soup broth. I lost 25 pounds in 2 weeks. That caused gallstones in my body. So I know now that it's no longer safe for me to fast, at least not in the water fast sense. And if I were, I would further irritate my gallstones or reinstigate the eating disorder. So the eating disorder morphed and went from anorexia to bulimia and from bulimia to obsessive compulsive exercise. So for about 5 years, I was in a dark place in my head. So I don't want that for anyone who wants to be doing fasting because it does hold a lot of benefits. So let me get into the benefits side of it. Detoxification, so you can heal your digestive system and repair. You can accelerate weight loss goals. You can improve your metabolic parameters, your blood sugar, your insulin production, your cholesterol. You can also repair or reverse some free radical damage. Improved mental clarity and concentration, about day 3 or 4 that emerges. Taste neuroadaptation. So this is something I want to sort of take a break to talk about. It's going to sound really dichotomous or contradictory, but I believe freedom comes from discipline. This culture right now is about bigger, better, more, and different. We're constantly looking for the new thing. We're constantly buying the latest technologies. We're constantly eating more than we need. So I believe that by disciplining ourselves in one way, shape, or form, or multiple ways, we learn freedom. We learn that our happiness and our contentment is beyond our circumstances. You can be hungry and still be happy and content. Just like you can be sad and down and still believe and have faith. So I believe that through this discipline, we find freedom. That freedom then instills a deeper sense of faith. Here's why. A lot of cultures have looked through the years at sensory deprivation. So I used to teach yoga, and I knew pratyahara meant reducing the stimulation in your life so that you can commune easier and better with God. I'll give you a really practical example. Ready? What do you hear when I'm quiet? Close your eyes. So I know there's the odd cough and stuff like that. But generally, that's just a quick snapshot into when you reduce your sound stimulation, you become more present to the voice of the Holy Spirit. Why does Jesus say, go into your room, turn off the lights, get on your knees, bow your head, and be quiet? You can pray out loud, you can pray in your head, but it's communing. It's reducing that stimulation so that you can turn inward and have a deeper sense of what he's saying to you. If praying is speaking to God, then meditating is hearing him, listening to him, asking questions and waiting for his answers. But I believe by not eating, even for a small period of time, renews your mind and heart towards God, towards hearing the Holy Spirit. Then what happens when you start eating again? Gratitude, right? All of a sudden you get that neuroadaptation. You appreciate foods way more than you did before your fast. True? For any of you that have fasted, you know that is a hard fact. Even a grape, a single grape, can be almost orgasmic. I mean it. I've been there 2 weeks without solid food. I love the texture of food now. Because I was on liquids for 2 full weeks.
So what I wanted to focus on was some of the other benefits and then talk about what you can expect as adverse events, okay? So immune system is enhanced when you fast. You decrease inflammation overall in every system. You can cure and even alleviate acute and chronic illnesses. You build longevity, so we have a lot of rat studies to show that caloric restriction in the form of intermittent fasting, which I'll get into, is one way to create more longevity for your life. We live longer when we eat less. Simple and convenient. We are so busy. I think McLean's once said we need 42 hours in a day to accomplish what we expect to accomplish in 24. That's huge. So what if you weren't cooking all day or as much? Would that buy you some free time, but also this renewed faith, freedom, discipline, and gratitude? That's something I want for my life. It also gives you a jump start to behavioral change, which is huge nowadays because we have a lot of power over our own health. We just haven't been told that in a really long time. This is something that you can embrace, and you could probably transform a major piece or area of your life that you've been longing to change. It's generally safe when medically supervised, and about 95% of us will feel mild to moderate adverse events. What does that look like? What does that mean, Sarah? Well, you can feel nauseous. You can feel tired or fatigued because you're lowering your basal metabolic rate. You might feel a little bit of insomnia, back pain, dizziness, and reflux. But you said it treats reflux. I know. But for that period of fasting, you might have it aggravated for that short period of time. Headaches and high blood pressure. But it also treats high blood pressure. I know. I didn't design this that way. I'm just reporting what we found. I know this is hard to see for all of you, but this says is that those who have the highest blood pressure get the best results when fasting. That's also the scariest category to do this unsupervised. But those who are in the 190s to 200s can drop down to the 130s. For some of us, that means getting off of medication. That's super exciting for me. Here's another cool chart. This is comparing medication, weight loss, high-fiber diet, alcohol reduction, exercise, sodium restriction versus the tallest category, 37%. That's more than all the other therapies combined. That's hope. For me, that's hope. That's excitement when I talk to patients. So some of this information, I should back up for a sec. Some of this information was given to me by an MD in the States who runs a water fast treatment center. 10 to 40 days of pure water fasting, supervised, and very much a preponderance or focus on what to do after your fast, which is almost more important than your fast. I'm sorry if that contradicts what you believe or think. Because if we go into this haphazardly, without preparing, you might not get all the benefits you can get if you were to prepare a little bit more. What does that look like? Does anybody know how many layers of skin you have? More? Six. Am I still right? Yeah, okay. So the funny thing about our external skin is it's under a constant source of dehydration, right? So you might have some tall cells, but as you get to the surface, you're going to get skinnier and flakier cells. Yeah? Digestive system, how many cells? Layers. Anyone? One. This is huge to me. From your mouth to your rectum, one cell layer thick. What? That is the only separation between the outside world, the inside world, and the DNA we're taking in the foods that we're eating. That's huge to me. What is important is the shape. It's a tall columnar cell. So it makes sense how it can become inflamed so easily, how we can form things like leaky gut, how we can become irritated and inflamed from the foods that we're eating too much of. Yeah? It's also great hope that we can turn that over or recover that faster than maybe sometimes our external skin. Because you only need to shift that one cell layer. That's exciting to me. Okay, so hunger, you're obviously going to feel hungry. There can be a really bad taste in your mouth or sometimes halitosis or bad breath. Your body odor will change. Expect yourself to smell funky from every orifice. And I don't mean to be rude, but it's going to happen. Your stool smells different. Your urine smells different. Your breath smells different. Your BO smells different. You're going to be more tired, so try not to do too much physical exercise while you're fasting. Really minimize that. Rest more. Sleep more. Journal. Listen to music. Do your art. Go inward. Pray more. Meditate more. Sleep disturbance, and so if you're not sleeping at night, get that rest during the day. You might not normally be a napper, but maybe fasting is the perfect time to embrace and learn how to nap well. Restlessness is a big one. We'll find ourselves jittery and kind of jumpy because we have a more floaty energy, so we don't feel this solid, grounded like when we eat meat. So a little bit of history. I was also vegan for 2 years. I almost died. I was 120 pounds. I'm 150 right now. So if you can imagine me 30 pounds lighter, probably not a good thing for my frame. When I started eating meat again, I felt really grounded or stable or kind of more rooted. Whereas when I was vegan, I felt floaty and kind of dizzy, and makes sense to me physiologically because of what those nutrients impart or contribute to our lives. So yes, dizziness. So it's important that you don't physically exercise because you'll be upregulating the dizziness. Aches and pains, you're going to notice things like your joints, your headaches, but that will all pass, or should. Nausea and vomiting, rashes, sometimes discharges, heightened senses, that's my favorite part. Favorite part of fasting for me is that renewed gratitude and appreciation for the small things, like a raisin. I went 5 years without a raisin. I'm sensitive to sulfites. I finally started making my own. That raisin was amazing. So think of fasting in the same way. It doesn't have to be all or nothing. So my next topic of discussion is some of you rule it out completely because you're thinking to yourselves, I can't go a day without food. I can't go 3 or 7 days with only water. That's crazy talk. Well, pray about it. Ask God about your circumstances and what does that mean for your life. Let's rewind. January 2018, we started a fast. I really wanted to belong. I wanted to contribute to the body. I wanted to feel like I was a part of the fast, but I knew that it wasn't healthy for me. I didn't want my eating disorder to come back. I don't want more gallstones. They cause me enough dysfunction. So I asked God, what can I do that equals what you consider fasting? And I heard intermittent modified fasting. Okay, what is that? For me, 12 hours a day without food. 6 p.m. till 6 a.m., I have been fasting from January until now. Wow. My son calls it sleep. Because you need to hear, it was 6 p.m. to 6 a.m. That was fasting for me. I lost 35 pounds. I feel a lot better than I did in January. So it can look a lot of different ways. You don't have to do a 7-day water fast to be in this body and belong and understand fasting. You can create it to be just yours, but that's between you and him. So I really welcome you to take the opportunity over the next few days leading up to the 18th to really look and ask God what that looks like for you. So regardless of which form you choose, there is something called a pre-fast. So you don't want to be yo-yoing, right? You know, usually when we start a diet, we say we're going to start it on Monday, and Sunday we binge. That's not the goal either, my friends. Really, it's not. You're going to do yourself more harm than good if you binge before you fast. So the ideal would be go see your medical doctor. Get things tested. Physical exam, medical history, lab exams. You can, with their permission, stop medications and supplements. Make sure you're having good bowel movements leading up to the fast, and then take 2 days of only fruits and vegetables. Or 2 days of only fruits and vegetables leading up to the fast, if you're doing a water fast, okay? So that would look like, I got the dates wrong, that would look like the 16th or the 17th, you would prep, starting on the 18th till the 21st, or the 18th to the 25th. And then you refeed for 3 to 5 days. So when you're done, you don't jump back into what you were eating before, chips after dinner and chocolate before bed, and You don't do that because you're going to do yourself more harm because everything is heightened. Your digestive system is more absorptive. Your bowels are clearer. So you're going to get more harm if you don't refeed properly. So I've written out a little bit of a plan of what that looks like. And if any of you want me to type this out, I will. And I'll leave it for you at the health hub to pick up at your leisure. During the fast, you want to drink a minimum of a liter to a liter and a half every day. Very minimal physical activity. And you're going to use the opportunity of extra time to do art, music, self-care, prayer, anything that nourishes you and fills you up. Journal. Journal your feelings, your thoughts, even if they're biophysical. I'm hungry. Okay, then what? It's a feeling. It changes. And after day three, you'll have more energy than you've ever had in your life. Day three is kind of like the crux day. All right, so what does the refeeding look like? So let's say you're done, and you've come to either the 21st or the 25th, and you're like, whoa, I need to eat. My suggestion would be for the morning, I've modified this, because we're doing 3 to 7 days, and what I had printed out from the speaker was what you would do after a 7 to 10 day fast, so I've shortened it because we're not doing as long. The formula is you do half the length of time that you fasted in the refeeding. So if you did a 40-day fast, you would take 20 days to do this refeeding, and you would split the 20 days amongst the five. So you do 4 days of this, 4 days of this. You get the gist. So on day one of refeeding, you're going to do juices only in the morning if possible. You don't have to make them from scratch. You don't have to go buy a fancy juicer. Just start with reintroducing the nutrients and the acids into your stomach. And then around noon, you'll start with some raw fruits and raw juicy vegetables, not starchy ones. Keep citrus out for a little bit because that's quite irritating for a lot of people. And then by dinner, you can do steamed vegetables, light soups, potatoes, yams, and squash. No dressings, no sauces yet. They're too complicated. There's too many ingredients for your body to break down. Day two, you can do all of the above, but now you're going to add grains, oatmeal, rice, corn, quinoa, whatever your selection is. No beans yet. Avocados up to half a day, nuts and seeds half an ounce. On day three, you're thinking of adding to all the above, thick soups and stews, more avocados, more nuts and seeds, and now you can add desserts and sauces. So that would be day three. Any questions so far? Because that's the technical part, kind of boring. But you get the idea, the generals, right? Go ahead, Marilyn. That's debatable. So that would be another question or thing that you could ask God. Is this about caloric restriction? Is this about nothing but prayer? Is it prayer and water? Am I okay to get zero calorie but high nutrient drinks? So my example would be you could do lemon water or you could do some goji berries in hot water. So you're still getting some antioxidants and maybe don't eat the plump goji berries at the end, or raisins or prunes. If your bowels are stopped, you can put cut up prunes into super hot, like boiling water, and you will extract some of the nutrients from the prunes. You don't have to eat the prunes if you're doing a water fast, but you would still get the benefits of stimulating your bowel. And if you're not getting rid of it, it's all staying inside. That's not the goal of fasting, right? You want to be able to sweep out what you're purging from your system. So bowels is the most important part also of your fasting. And there's lots of things you can do. Like there's peppermint teas that are zero calorie, but even just that little bit of flavor, you'll notice an increased gratitude for simple flavors like peppermint or lemon in your water or the nutrients from a grape in hot water. Rosemary, delicious in hot water as a savory tea. Really yummy. So it's good what? Yeah, it's awesome for a lot of things. One of the highest antioxidant ratings for any food we can eat. Okay, some really simple tips, and then I'm done. You can pull the cane. Chew really well. When you're refeeding, please chew really well. You want to be gulping it down and barely breathing and choking because you're refeeding. Slow down. Part of the benefit of fasting is everything will seem like less. Or more, depending where you are. Sounds are offensive to me when I'm fasting because everything's heightened, all of your other senses. Think about people who are blind. their touch, their smell. They compensate with the other senses. So when you stop eating, the same thing happens to you. Your other senses are heightened. You'll hear more, you'll see more, you'll think more, you'll feel more deeply, right? It's adapted into us. It's wired that way. When you're refeeding, think simple, easy, but delicious. You want to be enjoying your food. So think about those basic nutrients, like he said today in the miracle moment. That could be all you need for lunch when you're refeeding, and it'll be so delicious, and the textures will be amazing, and the water richness of this apple will be so present in your mouth. Your bowels will respond. Make sure you're doing more of your water between meals than with your meals. You really don't want to dilute your digestive juices too much. We make the mistake of drinking a lot while we're eating. Husband, every meal offers me water, and I look at him with these like, oh, don't you know me by now? I never drink with my food, or try not to. The first bowel movement, it will restart. The first one can be hard and difficult. Don't strain. Seek other sources, like putting prunes in hot water and drinking that before bed. If you don't have a stool in the middle of the night, you'll have one in the morning for sure. There are other things that you can do while refeeding to encourage your bowels. Please come talk to me if this is an issue for you, because there's so many simple things you can do, from magnesium to vitamin C to probiotics. That is my specialty. And like we already mentioned, there's lots of things that you can do to increase the nutrient load but keep the calories down to zero, but still give yourself some flavor in life if you're doing a modified water fast or modified intermittent fasting. So that's all I have today. If you have any questions, let me know. I'm also available after the rest of the sermon. Ooh, one quick prayer. Romans 12:12. Heavenly Father, please throughout this fast, make us faithful in prayer, patient in affliction, and joyful in hope. Amen.
Amen. thank you, Sarah. Sarah was in my Bible study for a couple of years, Sarah? Yeah, I heard a lot about bowels during the... She's a doctor. What do you expect? Thank you, Sarah. I want to give you a few scriptures on why we should fast. As I'm listening to Sarah, I'm thinking, wow, in all the years, boy, I broke every rule that you're suggesting or recommendation. As I told the church before, my first fast, I don't remember reading much on it, but I remember I think I committed to 3 days, never fasted before. And a day and a half in, I was starving to death. No mental preparation, not realizing others gone this way before and not hearing stories. And I can still picture myself in that little galley kitchen in Hinton a day and a half in and just running in there and grabbing the bread and making the toast and slapping on the jam and just stuffing my face. I'm normally a fast eater, but I was just over the top there. And I share that to say that the learn from my experience. Educate yourself. Go into it. Read the scriptures. I could give you 100 scriptures on fasting and prepare your mind for what you're doing. Because then what happens, of course, I would fall into defeat. Oh, I'm defeated. Ah, look what I did. I can't make it. And things like that. Condemnation from the enemy. There is no failure in fasting. Even if you set a week or a day or whatever and you didn't make it, that's not failure. That's learning and growing and things like that. But always when I'm talking about fasting, I'm talking about fasting and prayer. Because when we take that time to not take a meal, replace it with getting on our knees and seeking the Lord in prayer. So a few quick, I'll take 10 minutes here. Few quick thoughts. Our church, no, I've told you that before. Why are we fasting? Real simple. Matthew chapter 6, 16 to 18. And I don't know if Sarah said it or somebody said it this morning, but it's kind of a forgotten, fasting is kind of forgotten in our society and well over in the 2,000 years of the church. It hasn't been a very popular subject, although when you search the scriptures, it's there, plain and simple. Jesus said in his teaching, why are we fasting? Jesus, this is Matthew chapter 6, when you fast, he said, when you fast, just a given. Do not look somber as the hypocrites do, for they disfigure their faces to show men they are fasting. I tell you the truth, they have received their reward in full. But when you fast, Christian Center, when you take time to fast, put on oil on your head and wash your face so that it will not be obvious to men that you are fasting, but only to your Father who is unseen, and your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. Three quick thoughts concerning Jesus' words here. If and not when. In Matthew chapter 6, Jesus talks about when you pray. We all believe, I think, in the church that we should pray. When you pray, he talked about it in verses 1 to 4. Do it like this. Don't be like the hypocrites. Then he goes on to say, when you give. Jesus really expects us to be giving as followers of Christ. And then he moves right on to the third one. He says, and when you fast. So these are just three simple disciplines that all Christians should be partaking in. And so Jesus, he commands, or I guess I could use the word command, the only command, he says, love one another. But I think we could take this as a highly suggestive of the Lord that he wants us fasting. Would you not? When you pray, when you give, and when you fast. So we're following the Lord. It's our heart's desire and our passion to follow the Lord. And when so he gives us these directions to follow him, we want to be entering in on that. Another thought he mentions about always the motive. Here's key. We're coming in as Christian Center. We're calling a fast to seek the Lord in prayer. Our motive has to be right. Not for personal gain, not for any glorification of self, but for seeking the Lord. And we do it with a good heart. And Jesus points out, people, that fasting was very popular back then. There was the publican in Luke chapter 18, and he said to the Lord, I give a tithe of all I have, and I fast how many times a week? Twice a week, that guy was into it. Fasting was very popular for a lot of people back then. And so Jesus corrects that motive, and he says, don't be doing it like this to be seen by men and praised by them. Here's why you want to do it. Go into your closet. Don't let anybody see you. And God, who rewards and sees, he will reward you. That's God's promise unto us. But our hearts have to be correct. Our motives have to be right in wanting to, A, please the Lord in all we do. Now, so I know from experience that sometimes wanting to guard that secrecy, somebody will ask you, oh, are you fasting? And sometimes you go, what do I say? And we'll just say, yes. It's the point of this being is just don't go around boasting and bragging. If I was to go into work and walked in on the week of our fast and somebody offered pie and I didn't have it, they would know I'm fasting because I normally eat lots of pie and lots of cake. And so it's really the point of Jesus saying it is not to be boasting, not to be drawing attention to oneself. But if it happens, people ask you just simply, yeah, I'm fasting this week. And give them the purposes you're maybe fasting for that week. Third point he makes is the rewards. I'll leave that one today, but God says that. Second point for why are we fasting is, I think always as we look at the life of Jesus and we try to follow him, his example. We all know in Scripture, in John chapter 3, Jesus goes into the water, he's baptized, the Holy Spirit comes down upon Jesus, and immediately in chapter 4, the Holy Spirit leads Jesus into the desert to be tempted by the enemy. And there he goes, and the Bible tells us he fasted for 40 days. And then the enemy attacks, he tempts him, to, why don't you turn this bread? Why don't you turn the stones into bread? Scripture said that Jesus was hungry. Enemy comes and tempts him. Hey, why don't you make the stones into bread? Jesus could have. And the enemy's trying to get him off the Father's purpose and plan. Jesus hears and does whatever the Father wants, and the Father wasn't requiring that. And Satan's trying to maneuver him. In the garden in Genesis, how did the enemy came? Satan came, and he tempted Adam and Eve. And they ate. They simply followed. They didn't listen to God. God laid it out. Here's the plan. And rather than choosing to follow and listen and obey God, they chose the enemy. They got suckered in. They were tempted and they fell. Jesus, the second Adam, here we are back. We're in the desert this time. Jesus is tempted, second Adam, and he doesn't fail. Jesus could have turned the rocks into bread. Matter of fact, a couple of years later in his ministry, he's feeding 5,000 from fish and bread. There he's doing those miracles, but he's doing it under the direction of his father. He's not, as one preacher said, making bread for the devil. But under the Lord's leading and direction, he did his miracles. So it was a temptation from the Lord. Number two, why are we fasting? Jesus' example for our life. And number three is, that's the way of discipleship. Jesus was example, he taught his disciples, and then as we observe in Scripture, in Matthew chapter 28, he said, go out and teach them all I have commanded you. Make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey all that I have commanded you. They go out, and we look at just two of their lives, Peter, Acts chapter 10, he's up on the roof, he's praying, he's hungry, he's fasting, and he receives a vision. And the next thing you know, as he follows and listens to the Lord, he goes out and he ends up going to Cornelius' house and he takes the gospel from the Jewish people to the Gentiles. The beginning of the movement into the Gentile, Peter's ministry to the Gentiles. And he introduces them to the gospel. The preceding chapter, Acts chapter 9, we have the Apostle Paul fiercely persecuting the church on his way to put Christians in jail. Jesus intercepts him. The risen Christ intercepts him, blinds his eyes, and he's led into Damascus. And there, while he is in Acts chapter 9, verse 9, praying and fasting for 3 days, God meets him, his life's transformed, and the early church, away it goes from there. So, why are we fasting? Number one, Jesus commands, Jesus' examples, and the way of discipleship. He passed it on to his disciples, and they've passed it on year by year, and here we are today, just simply following in their footsteps. Three quick purposes this morning. What's the purpose? What is our purpose? Generally speaking, when you read the Old Testament 16, 18 times, there was some serious business that's happening, and kings and queens and leaders called the whole nation to fast. Esther, the annihilation of the Jewish people was happening. She called the people to a 3-day fast. And rather than the judgment of the decree that was set before them to annihilate them, God intervened and saved that nation. In another time in the book of Jonah, you have the story of Jonah where Jonah goes to Nineveh. It's a large city. And he's going around proclaiming that God's judging this city in 40 days. 40 days, Nineveh, you guys are toast. And the king hears about it. King's not even a follower of God, but he hears about it. And he commands and directs his people, everybody in the nation, to fast, that maybe God would pass over and avert the judgment that's coming on their city. And what did God do? He saw the humility. He saw their repentance. And they averted disaster at that time. Years later it came, but at that time, God's judgment did not fall on the nation. So we've got a lot of those big pictures where leaders are calling fast, and then you've even got a woman named Hannah, couldn't have a baby for years. What did she do? She reverted to fasting and prayer unto the Lord, and she was rewarded with a little child named Samuel the prophet. On and on in the Old Testament. In the New Testament, it's not as particular where they were targeted a certain purpose and target, but there are some there. But for the purpose of our fast, I've thought about this one. And I've never went down this trail, but for your personal health. Sarah touched on it a lot this morning. Everything that I've read, I have never read anything negative towards healthy fasting, I'll call it. Because you can get into extremes and wingnut things. But for healthy fasting, I've never read anything that it's adverse to my body. Matter of fact, everything that I've read, which it's not as much as Dr. Matthew, but promotes it and encourages it, that fasting is good to you. So here's my thought as I throw this carrot in front of you. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 19 and 20. Sarah, can we get it up there? It says, Christians, do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit, who is in you, who you have received from God? You are not your own. You were bought at a price. Therefore, honor God with your bodies. So here's my reasoning and thinking concerning this temple. We're disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ. The Holy Spirit resides in us. This is the temple that the Holy Spirit resides in. Would it not make sense I want to take good care of this temple? Amen to that one, Matthew? I want to take good care of this temple. And so as we go into this and understanding that prayer, and or we'll talk about the fasting, can be beneficial to this body, why would I not enter into that? The reason I think I went down this trail, in the last few weeks I was talking to an individual that he said to me, Al, I sure wish I had took care of my body more in my teens and my 20s. And he said, my story is this. I really didn't think I was going to live beyond 30, 35 years old. And so that was, you know, he had a lot of health issues. So he didn't think he was going to. So in his mind, he thought, hey, why not enjoy some of these extreme sports and things like this? And he really made some bad decisions. And so now the Lord has blessed him. And he's lived beyond 30, 35. But he's in a lot of pain. And he just said simply to me, Al, I wish I really had looked after the temple when I was younger. But, you know, young and stupid as we all can be. And so so I bring that to you, that God, the Holy Spirit, is living in your temple. And so if I take care of this temple, maybe I'm going to get an extra 5-10 years out of it. Maybe. Definitely as I live my life and I'm taking care of the temple, it's a lot more exciting, or I find more energy. Yeah, more vitality. This week I had the flu, as many or whatever we were carrying, stuff like that. And I'm walking around like I'm fasting all week. But I wasn't, but I, you know, you're feeling lethargic. Well, I like to feel energy and give it my all and type thing. Well, that'll happen more often if I take some time and take care of the temple that the Holy Spirit lives in. And final thought as we flip this page, a purpose. We're talking about purposes, and I'll refine this as we get near the day. Here's a big one for not only personal, but more corporate. And the scripture is Matthew chapter 9, verse 35 to 38. And so as I think about the fast that we're going on, I really want this one to be part of the church, thinking about it, meditating upon it towards our community. Jesus said this. He's been ministering all over the place. He went throughout all the towns, villages, teaching in the synagogues, preaching the good news of the kingdom, and healing, every disease and sickness. When he saw the crowds, he had compassion on them, because they were harassed and helpless like sheep without a shepherd. Then he said to his disciples, the harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send out workers in his harvest field. I'll be praying about this one, that our church, myself first, and our church as well, that we would have the eyes of the Lord Jesus Christ as we look at our community that he's placed us in. That our compassion level in Christian Center would take a steep curve to the high side. That as we look in the people that in our community, as we brush shoulders with them, that the compassion that the Lord Jesus Christ has for them would be dropped into our hearts. So when we're talking about rewards back in Matthew chapter 6, and you really want to, I know some will want to, you know, there'd be seeking God concerning this thing and a lot of personal things. We'll put this one on your list too. Lord, I want a greater compassion for the community to live in, the people. That my eyes, I would see them as you see them. Jesus saw them as harassed and lost sheep. And God has placed us in this community for these years that he's given us. And the reason he has us here, one of the major reasons, is that we might minister and reach out to the people that are in this community. And to do that better, if he would increase our compassion for the people that we see, I think we'll see incredible results of our fasting in our effects upon the people of the community. One small way we're doing that is our support group that we're starting November 26th, and that's all birthed out of compassion for people. We've heard stories, we've listened, we know that mental illness and that has just affected so many, and our hearts should be moved to compassion that we do something about it. We haven't got all the answers, but we do have some, and we want to God to increase our compassion for people, whether it be that area or others. And Jesus went on to say, guys, here was his solution. Pray for workers to go out into his harvest field. Jesus said to pray for that God would send workers out into his harvest field, filled with compassion for them. The bad news, we're the workers, guys. That's who he's talking about. Tapping each of us on the shoulder, we're the workers. We know the Lord Jesus Christ, and it's the gospel and the love and the mercy and compassion that we need to take to the community that God has placed us in. And one final thought, 1 minute. Jeff mentioned it this morning, the Holy Spirit. I've been preaching about it since July the 26th, about I'm praying that our desire and our passion. Here's my question. Back in the old day, the question 40 years ago when you met somebody, hey, are you filled with the Holy Ghost? Do you remember hearing that? You're filled with the Holy Ghost. And the reply would be, and the emphasis was meant that there was a lot of denominations that preached about the Holy Spirit but didn't really believe that the gifts were operating today and that was for back in the apostles' time and it ended back then. But so that was the question. Have you been baptized with the Holy Spirit? And so my question to Christian Center today as we go into this is that are you filled with the Holy Spirit today? Are you filled with the Holy Spirit today? Because you can have a lot of experiences back then, but we need to be current. Galatians chapter 5, verse 25 says, keep in step with the Spirit. Am I filled with God's Spirit today? Am I rising each day and realizing, apart from God, I can do nothing? I need a fresh anointing, a fresh filling of the Spirit of God upon my life to accomplish what the Lord wants to do in my life today. Would I hear 2 amens for that one? And so that's an emphasis that I just want to keep before the church. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 18 says, be filled with the Spirit. He was speaking to guys that are already filled, but to be continually filled with God's Spirit that we might accomplish the things and live the life that a Spirit-filled life God directed. Father, thank you for this time in your house this morning. Thank you, Lord, that this is your church. You guide and direct our path as we acknowledge you. Thank you, Lord, that you've led us to put on the calendar at least a week of fasting and prayer. Lord, I pray that as each leave today, that you've spurred our interest, and Lord, we would do some research, some looking into. But most of all, Lord, I pray that each one would go before you and ask, Lord, what are you leading? Whether it be a meal, a day, or a week, God, that you would lead each one individually. You would meet them exactly, Lord, where they're at. And Father, that they could take out their journal and write, yes, I've heard from the Lord, I'm going to follow in his footsteps. Lord, it would be so personal to each one. And Father, as we go through that week and as we gather in your house of prayer, I pray that you would pour out your Spirit. I pray that you would pour into our hearts compassion and love and mercy for the community that you've placed us in. I thank you, Lord, that you've raised up love within your body, that there's unity and there's love amongst your people. I thank you, Lord, that many testified over the last year or two their greater love for you and personal relationship. But Lord, we want to go beyond and we want to reach people that don't know you. So we ask for your guidance. We ask for your help. And Lord, I just pray that you would pour out your Spirit in the precious name of Jesus. Amen.
A question actually came up in my heart while Al was speaking. And I'll make this really quick. It's just a point. We are all from very many different vocations. We go to different locations during the week. And you need to know, and I know, that your influence in places, you have an influence. It's like a ripple effect that comes forth from your life. And we don't all go to the same people. We go to different people. And so coming into this fast, what God placed in my heart at the time that Al was speaking was a question that you could possibly ask the Lord. What, Lord, have you placed in my hand? What is in my destiny? What have you called me to do? What is in my destiny I want to fulfill my destiny. Since I got healed, that's the only thing I want to do, is to fulfill what God has planned over my life. And each one of us needs to ask, Lord, what is in my destiny that you foresaw before I was even a person, that you called me forth to do, that this fast will enable me to do in a better way than I've ever done before? Because that has to be the heart that we go into this, that we say, sharpen me, Lord. Sharpen me for your purposes, that I would make a greater impression and a greater impact on the world that I touch. And we all touch different people and a different world. And we come together on Sunday and we're all one. But we go out to many different places. So this is just one thing that might come up in your heart. It might be, you might remember what I just shared. But pray and ask the Lord, what is my impact? What is in my hand to do? Because we all have a different ministry, and we all have a different strength. We all have an outgo of our lives that are important and God has ordained. And so that was just something that the Lord placed on my heart.
Thanks, Lydia. We're going to have a time of prayer now. I'll just give the benediction, and then I want to pray for Don. Come on up, and a few others, I imagine. With all those colds and flus going around, there should be a lot of anointing of oil this morning. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you. May the Lord lift up his countenance and give you his peace. Amen. Please go quietly this morning.